I wrote on the board, apprehended. I want to think about a few things this morning, starting in Philippians 3 and 12. You know, sometimes we may feel like we've sought the Lord and we've looked for Him and we've found Him, and thank the Lord we have found Him. But I'll tell you what's greater than that. He's found us. You know, the word apprehend means, as used in the scripture, means to take eagerly. That is seize, possess, etc. Literally or figuratively. Apprehend, attain, come upon, find, comprehend, obtain, perceive, overtake. That's what the word apprehend in the scripture means. It means that somebody has been seized upon. We all hear from time to time that there's a criminal loose and they're looking for him. And they search everywhere. And they put his name out on billboards and his face, and they put it on all the media and all those things because they're looking for someone. You know, this morning, the Lord came looking for us like that too. I really believe that. The Lord searched for us until He found us. And if we're saved today, it's not because we did anything other than just repent and give up to the one that found us. It's because the Lord found us. And you know, this morning, I hope we can get a little picture and a little view today that God wants to apprehend us. He wants to get a hold of us. He wants us in his embrace. And that's a good place to be. All the good things that we sang about this morning, they come because the Lord Jesus came looking for us, and God by His Spirit. In Philippians 3 and 12, it says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." You know, this morning, we've been apprehended of Christ Jesus. And Paul said that he wanted to apprehend or seize upon or get in his hand. He wanted that. He wanted the prize that the Lord found him for to start with. Paul wanted some things that God wanted to give him, and the Lord looked for him, apprehended Paul. He wrote this, as we know. But you know, there was a time when Paul was persecuting God's people. He was having them put in prison. He was delivering them up to be killed. Paul was looking for them, hunting them. And he was going down a hard road. He was going to Damascus to find more Christians, to try to persecute them. And you know what the Lord did? He didn't slay Paul on the road to Damascus. Here Paul was a wicked man as far as right things go. He was doing wrong things. But you know what the Lord did? He shone a big light around him on his road to Damascus. It was so bright that Paul fell to the ground. And he heard a voice speaking. And he didn't even know who it was. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." You know, this morning, the Lord is looking for us like that too. He is hoping that we'll listen. Paul could have said, "I don't want anything to do with it." He could have done that. But he didn't, did he? He was apprehended of the Lord. And then he said, "I want to apprehend what the Lord apprehended me for." He got a hold of me. Now I want to get a hold of the things that He wanted me to have. And this morning, I just want us to get a little bigger picture that this is not just something that we've done or something that we've worked real hard at. I want to tell you, the Lord has apprehended us if we've been apprehended. He got on our trail a long time ago. Before the world began, He decided He'd make a way. He would make a way for man to be saved. And you know, then Jesus came and died in our place. Why was He doing that? Because He wanted to apprehend us. Why did He want to apprehend us? Because He wanted to take us to heaven. That's why. The Lord wants to take you and me to heaven this morning. You know what else He wants to do? He wants to give us the blessings that He said He would give to the righteous. The Lord wants us to have those things today. And so He has apprehended us. He's followed after us. Has the Lord followed after you? Did the Lord follow after you for some years? And maybe you didn't even know it at first. Maybe you didn't recognize it, or maybe you resisted it for a while. But you know, the Lord many times follows on, doesn't He? The Lord told Paul, He said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. All the times I've been trying to get a hold of your mind, Paul, your heart, I've been trying to apprehend you, and you've been kicking against the pricks. You know, the Lord wants to apprehend us this morning. I don't know where you and everyone is at this morning, but I want to tell you, the Lord's on your trail, and He's wanting to get a hold of you. He's wanting to get you in His embrace, and He wants to make your life good in God. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have any more troubles, but it means we'll have God. It means we'll have access to peace, to the happiness that the Lord gives His people, to the clear conscience, to the hope of heaven. The Lord wants to give those things this morning. You know, I want to read over here in John 3, it's quoted so many times, and probably all of us have heard the verse, "For God so loved the world." But I want to start at 3 and 14 of John. And listen to the heart of the Lord. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now, most of us know this story this morning. We know that the Israelites, the people of God, went away. They sinned against Him. They murmured against Him. They complained against God. And they brought upon themselves wrath. But you know what the Lord did? He lifted up. He sent serpents among them. He sent snakes among them. And they bit them. And many of them died. But He told Moses, He said, "You put a brazen serpent up on a pole, and when they look up to that, they'll be well." You know, Jesus Himself said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." You know, He said, "I've got to be lifted up in the same way." And He was speaking of the cross. He was going to be put up on a pole, wasn't He? On a wooden cross. And He said that it would be like that in the Old Testament. You know what that was for? That they might be well. That they might be healed. Folks, we are following after God with all of our heart, and so we should. But I want to tell you something. The Lord made provision for us. The Lord followed after us first. He got up on the cross. He could have called 12 legions of angels. He didn't have to die in our place. He didn't have to take our sins, but He did, didn't He? And we find that He willingly suffered and died for us. And it says in verse 15 that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, or have eternal life. That's why He did that. So we could have eternal life. The Lord suffered that way. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Where are you at this morning? You have everlasting life in your life? You have everlasting life in your heart? You know that if you perish, if you die in this life, that you're going to go to heaven? The Lord made a way for us, didn't He? And He said that whosoever, for God so loved the world. He loved us. He saw us. He saw our need. And it says that He gave His only begotten Son, only one, and He gave Him, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord did that for us this morning. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world." You think that the Lord and His way, the gospel, is condemning? You think people just feel condemnation from that? It says He didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. They're condemned already because they're in disobedience to God. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came that we might be saved. And if we have anything this morning from God, it's because of His love. This morning, the Lord loves us. He died for us. He came for us. He came that we might not perish. He came to apprehend us. He sent His Spirit back. You know, He said it wasn't proper. That He stay. He said it's necessary that He goes away so that He can send the Spirit back. And you know what the Spirit of God's been doing? He's been looking for you and me. He's been talking to our hearts, hadn't He? He's been searching for us when we didn't know He was searching for us. He's been putting little things in our life and in our mind and in our hearts that we didn't even know because He cared about us back then. Because He knew there would be a day that I'm going to talk to them. I want to apprehend them. I'm going to shine my light on their heart and they're going to suddenly understand. It's the Lord. That's who it is. He's talking to me. He wants to get a hold of my life. This morning, let Him have it. Let God have our life this morning. He didn't come to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. He came to save us today. In John 10 and 27 to 29, and this is really a lot of my burden. My sheep hear my voice, John 10 and 27, and I know them and they follow me. Now, folks, it's a two-way street, isn't it? If we're going to be one of the Lord's sheep, it's not going to be all Him. He died for us. He searched for us. He convicted us. He talked to us. He shined a light on us. But we're going to have to follow Him. We're going to have to lay down our ways, our sins, our wickedness, our thoughts. We're going to have to lay them down and follow the Lord all the way. And He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And He said, and they follow me. You know, the Lord's people follow Him. They obey His commandments to the best of their knowledge. They search for Him. They love Him. That's what God wants to put in our life this morning. And He said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I want us to get a hold of these two scriptures this morning. There isn't anything, anybody, any force that can pluck us out of God's hand. Did you know that? There is nobody but us that can turn around. The devil can't make up. He can't make us turn around. The devil can't take your salvation. The devil can't take your peace. We have to give it up. And that's the only way it's taken, is when we let it go. The Lord, He says here, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me. Listen to this. My Father gave them to me. He gave me my sheep. He gave me my people. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know what this morning? Let's take courage. There isn't a force. There isn't a person. There isn't a spirit. There is nothing that is able to pluck us out of God's hand. God has His hand on us. He spent years following us down before we yielded to Him. And He loves us. And He shed His love in our hearts, didn't He? I want to read in Romans 8. And we'll kind of bounce back and forth maybe to this. This morning, Romans 8 and 35 ask us a question. And it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know what this morning? Who shall separate? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is there anything that can separate us from God's love? I don't think anything even stands a chance. You know that this morning? We can just kind of relax, can't we? All I have to do is keep my hand in His. All I have to do is keep living for Him. Keep being honest. Keep being true. Keep seeking Him with my whole heart. And you know, that's all I have to do. And I'll make it to heaven. That's all you have to do to make it to heaven. We can kind of breathe a little sigh of relief. There isn't anything can take us out of His hand this morning. There isn't anything can win over us. There isn't any discouragement. There isn't any force. There isn't any opposition that can take away your salvation today. You have to give it up. You have to let it go. You have to get careless to let it go. Sure, Satan will fight, and he'll take it away if we'll let him have it. But I will tell you, God's grace is sufficient to keep a man from the day he gets saved until he enters heaven. God's grace is sufficient for that and wants to do that. Now, if we err, I know God will look at us again. He said He would. And there's an advocate with the Father. But I will tell you, God has grace for His people and wants us to have it this morning. Listen to what this says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? I looked up that word tribulation in the Greek, and it says pressure. That's the first thing it says. You ever had pressure this morning? You ever had pressure applied? Is pressure able to separate us from the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost? Can pressure do that to us? If we let it. If we get lean in our souls. If we let go of the Lord. But pressure can't separate us from the Lord. Tribulation can't separate us from God. I just want to encourage us this morning that there is no man and no thing that is able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. If we dwell in fear today, it is not a justified fear. There is a fear that we need to have, that we live close to God and that we avail ourselves of His grace. But I will tell you, we should not live in fear that surely I don't see how I can make it. I will tell you, all you have to do is live for the Lord every day. And we can do that, can't we? We can live for the Lord every day. And we can make it. We can make it in, folks. Pressure says affliction. Affliction, anguish. Now, will the people of God have this kind of thing ever come upon them? Will they? Will a saved person, God, let them endure some pressure, affliction, or anguish? He will sometimes, won't He? Jesus endured some of those things, didn't He? And we see them in different ones in the Word of God. But I will tell you, will it separate us from the love of Christ? I want to drop down and come back up. Paul said, I am persuaded. In verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thought this morning? Saints, let's get up close to the Lord. And let's let Him take us to heaven. All we have to do is live for Him. That's all. We don't know all the answers. There's lots of times I've looked into the future and thought, I have no idea. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to... But I'll tell you what I found. Just put the one foot in front of the other and keep walking. And one of these days, it'll be our last day. And we'll meet the Lord in peace that way. There isn't anything that is able to separate us from Christ. Now, I tell you what will separate us. If we begin to focus on our tribulation. If we begin to focus on our issues. If our gaze turns from the Lord to whatever we're enduring. If our gaze turns from Him to our pressure and to our affliction and to our anguish and to whatever it is, that is able to separate us from Christ. Because we have turned our gaze away from the Lord and turned it upon things God told us not to. One time I was going through a battle and it lasted for a long time. And you know what the Lord finally told me? several times. Don't think about it. And I thought, I want to understand, Lord. I couldn't grip it. I couldn't get a hold of it. I couldn't understand. The Lord told me again, don't think about it. And you know what I found is? I've been able to live for the Lord. It was threatening my spiritual life. It was threatening to overthrow me. But I'll tell you what I found. Don't think about it. That's pretty simple. It's from God. Don't look at our tribulation, folks, too keenly. We want to know that we're in some of these things. We want to know where we're at. We want the Lord's will to be done. We seek the Lord, but see, all the time our gaze is on Him. Our eyes are up on Him on all those things then. Lord, I don't understand. Lord, well, we're looking to Him, aren't we? If we're looking down at our pressure, if we're looking down at our anguish, I will tell you, we will sink then. Peter looked down, didn't he? Peter walked on the water. We have record of it. He actually climbed out of the boat and he said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come unto you. And then he just got out of the boat and started walking. And he was looking at the Lord. He was looking to Him. But then all of a sudden he looked down and he started sinking, didn't he? The Lord didn't just let him sink. He helped him out there. But you know, this morning, the Lord wants our faith to go up a little bit. He wants us to recognize that there is nothing that is able to separate us from the love of God. Not just separate us from God, but from the love of God. From His power within our life. From the power of love. From the power of love for God. From the power of love for everybody. The Lord wants us to know, my power is great enough that there is nothing that can separate you from me. So our job is to look to the Lord, isn't it? It's to look up to Him. And it goes on to say burdened. This word here that we read, tribulation, it goes on to say pressure, affliction, anguish, burdened, persecution. Has anybody here ever been persecuted because they live for the Lord? I'm sure we have. Maybe small persecutions. I don't know of any of us that's been beat for it. But I will tell you, we've probably been made fun of a little bit. Probably a few jests made about us. Is that going to cause us to separate us from the Lord? It can. You know how? Just focus our mind on it. I don't want to be made fun of. That's very uncomfortable. And it makes me look silly and foolish. I don't want that. We get our eyes on that, you know what'll happen? Pretty soon we'll sink, won't we? We can be separated from the love of Christ. But I'll tell you when we can't, that's if we look away from it. We look to the Lord. Lord, I know that you have grace for me in this. I've got my heart set like a flint. No matter what happens in this life, I'm going to live for you. I don't care what the cost is, and I mean I don't care what the cost is. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do your will. I'm going to humble myself to the circumstances you put me in. I'm going to live for you by the grace of God and by the help of the Lord. And you know what? I've got a lot of confidence. As long as I do that every day, there isn't anything that can separate me from that burning love that He's put within my heart and in my soul for Him and for every soul. There isn't anything that can separate us from those things. Sure, we will be tried. The Lord promised us we'd be a tried people. Persecution, tribulation, or trouble. You know, this morning, these things come to us. We don't like them. And they're not comfortable. And we want to feel like, well, I need to just feel happy all the time. Do we always feel happy? Do we always feel joy? Jesus didn't, I'll say that. Our example didn't. When He came to the cross, He wept. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And I know He was bearing the sins of the world, but He was looking at what He was fixing to go through. He knew He was fixing to have thorns put on His head. Jesus knew the Scriptures. He knew what was fixing to happen. And I'll tell you, He wept. His feelings went low. When he was on that cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, this morning, did God forsake him? No. The scripture says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. You know, sometimes we have to endure things. It's not all the time, but there's phases in our life where we have to really endure some things. And if it's for a long time, I believe I have it settled in my heart. I don't care how long it is, Lord, I'm going to serve you. It's not always our feelings go so low in trials. I, and I'm sure some of you too, have felt times when the worst kind of troubles came and the Lord just flooded such peace in my soul until I was unaffected by it. I had more peace than normal in the midst of the worst kind of tribulations. But it's not always that way. And sometimes we have to recognize our feelings are going to go low. The things that we face are going to cause us to have a little dip in our feelings. Maybe a big dip sometimes. But is it able to separate us from the love of God? Oh, listen, folks. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, that's the secret, I believe. The Holy Ghost wants to work and live and move in our life. And we want Him to have that place, don't we? We want to invite Him in. And I believe that He'll give us those things. Let's read on down here. Shall tribulation, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? You ever felt distressed before? Or persecution or famine? Is it possible? You know what this is? When you read the Greek word, it says, I don't remember the exact way it says it, but it's talking about hunger. Would it be possible that we would ever be hungry? Paul says, if you are hungry, it can't separate you from the love of Christ. That's what he says. It cannot do it. Saints, there is nothing. What shall separate us? Can hunger separate us? What if we don't have enough to eat? Is it possible that we wouldn't have enough to eat? Well, if we do, if we ever can get in that situation, I believe the grace of God is able to keep us. He says, or famine or nakedness. Is it possible that we would not have enough money to cover ourselves with clothes? Is that a possibility? Paul said, if it ever happens, it can't separate. Shall it separate us? No. We're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Because this outside, this body, this mind, these things that we face here, they can't separate us from the love of Christ. Listen, let's dwell a little more on the love of Christ this morning. Let's look at the love that God has had for us in that He sent His only Son, His beloved Son. He loved us that much. Isn't that a wonderful picture this morning? The Lord wants us to get our eyes on that a little bit more than we do. On the love of God. All right. Or famine, or nakedness, or peril. Peril is danger. Have you ever been in real danger? Some of us here have been in real danger. Very much so. And I will tell you, can that separate us from the Lord? It can. If we decide, I'm in danger, I'm going to start lying. I'm going to start doing what I've got to do. It's a dog-eat-dog world. I've got to defend myself. We can be separated because we're looking at the danger. Let's don't look at the danger, folks. We serve a God that has us in His hand. And we are engraved on the palm of His hand, the Bible says. He's got a mighty big hand if the earth is just His footstool. You know, He said we're engraved. However it says it, on the palm of His hand. And the Lord knows about us this morning. We may suffer sometimes, but I want to tell you something. The love of God, that blessed thing that comes into our heart and into our soul and our life, that makes us love God, and makes us respond to Him with obedience and makes us love other people. That love of God, set your heart on it. Set your heart on it. God did a lot to apprehend you and me. He did a lot to get a hold of our affections. Now let's give them to Him. Let's let the love of God penetrate our hearts and minds and souls. And let's look to it. And let the Lord take us through to finish and to victory in this life. It goes on to say, or sword. I have never faced that. I have never faced being close to someone killing me that I know of. But he said, if that comes to be, and Paul faced that, didn't he? They cut his head off, didn't they? They beheaded Paul at Rome. And you know, did it separate Paul from the love of God? No, he willingly went. It was no problem for Paul because his hope was not in his life. It was in the Lord. It was in heaven. It was in his relationship with God. It was in the love of God that was filled in his soul. Oh, this morning, our body may perish, but our love don't have to perish. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, the word said we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. We're counted as that? Yes, we are, aren't we? But this isn't our home, is it? This isn't our real body, is it? This is just what the Lord put the Spirit in. The Lord put in this body. This is what everybody sees. But when this body dies, we're still going to be alive, aren't we? We're going to go to heaven if we're saved. And we're going to go to eternal damnation if we're not. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now, you know, I know we don't get lax and just figure, well, we're more than conquerors. I will tell you, put your heart to it. We're more than conquerors, folks. We're more than conquerors. A conqueror conquers. But this says more than conquerors. We possess the land that we conquer, don't we? We're more than conquerors. We're more than just, oh, I just put up with it and somehow I made it through. We go on and it becomes ours. And we possess that place, don't we? It doesn't hold us. It doesn't have to hold us for the rest of our life in some kind of way that we're fixed on it and we always live in the shadow. Listen, the love of God is something for us to fix our gaze on. It's something for us in every situation of our life to fix our hearts on Him, no matter what it is. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. I love that verse, through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul said, I'm persuaded, that neither death nor life. Now, sometimes these things will separate us, won't they? It may be life, it may be death. That if we fix our eyes on life or death, we can be separated from the Lord. Let's just keep our eyes on Him. Let's just decide, I want to serve Him. Whatever He says, whatever He teaches, that's what I'll do. I'll trust Him. I'll serve Him no matter what happens. That's our commitment to God. Paul was apprehended on that road, and that big light shone around him. But I'll tell you what Paul got up and did. He said, what will you have me to do, Lord? And I will tell you, he gave his life to God, just like he had given it to evil before. And Paul thought he was doing right, but Paul gave his heart to the Lord, and the Lord used him. Nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. Is it possible that there could be powers working against us, satanic power? Is it possible that it could take away our salvation? Is it possible to separate us from God? He said, he listed, I think, this covers everything, this list. Nor principality, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Sometimes things to come separate people from the Lord. They get to looking at what's out there in the future, and I can't make it there. There's a dragon, a monster there that's going to gobble me up. Listen, we've got our eyes on the wrong thing if there's a monster in our future or in our present that is going to gobble us up. The Lord wants to encourage us. He wants us to get a hold, to look up to Him. I'm persuaded that these things are not able, okay, to separate us. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, in 1 John 4 and 9, it says here, we love Him because He first loved us. You know, this morning, when we realize, when Paul was struck down on that road, and he didn't even know who it was. When conviction begins to speak to our heart, and we realize we need to make a change, and we realize the Lord's been knocking on my heart. He wants to change me and make me into one of His people. And He wants to fill me with the love of God. And when we realize that, you know, I believe it has the power to take our life and change it completely. And set us on a course like Paul to give ourselves unreservedly the rest of our life. Paul just went about serving the Lord all the rest of his days, didn't he? Until he finally was beheaded and he went to see the Lord. None of those things moved him because he was serving the Lord. Okay? We love Him because He first loved us. Get your eyes on that a little bit. Is it just all me trying to fight the battles? Is it all just me? He first loved us, folks. He worked real hard to apprehend us. He worked real hard to put everything in our life in such a way that we were at the right place at the right time. And then He spoke to us. The day of visitation, the Bible speaks of. A special time. You know, the Lord loved us and we love Him because He first loved us. In Romans 5, listen to these scriptures. Very familiar scripture here. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know what that word abroad means? All around. The Lord just shed abroad, all in our hearts, the love of God. He wants to shed it abroad. But I'll tell you what, He hadn't done that in everybody's heart. Some people won't let Him. Is there any way for us to be separated from the Lord? Yeah. Just don't let Him. Just refuse and rebel. But it says the good and the obedient will eat the good of the land. You know, this morning, the Lord wants to shed abroad in our hearts the love of God in such a way that He becomes real to us. And sometimes we just kind of only allow Him to go certain places. And we give up slow. Listen, God wants to have all of us. It's the only way it works. We have to give up. We have to give Him the whole package. Give Him our whole heart. Let Him have everything. Lord, all I want to know now is, what would You have me to do? Because I want to serve You. The same love that God had for us when He sent Jesus for our benefit is the same love He wants to put within us. And God wants to put that within our hearts this morning. All right. Maybe we'll move on here. I was thinking about a man named Lazarus. And he was a poor man, wasn't he? But he was a righteous man. I don't know what all of our situation is. But Lazarus' life wasn't very enjoyable. He laid by the rich man's gate. And he was full of sores. And the dogs came and they licked his sores. But I'll tell you what they couldn't take from Lazarus. He was poor as can be. He didn't have the food that he desired to eat off of the rich man's table. But Lazarus had a few hungry days, it sounds like. But you know what they couldn't take? They couldn't take God in his soul. And he laid by the rich man's gate. And I will tell you, there was a time that everything changed because Lazarus held on to God all the way to the end. Wasn't pleasant all of Lazarus's life. I don't know how long he was in this situation, but he was in a very unpleasant situation. Lazarus didn't jump for joy every day. I doubt. Lazarus suffered. But I'll tell you what he did. They couldn't take the love of God that he had. And there was a day that Lazarus died. And he went to heaven. You know, he went to a place where we find whatever that place is exactly that he, but he was in Abraham's bosom, it says. And we find Lazarus there. And the rich man in hell lift up his eyes, didn't he? And you know, what did Abraham tell him? You in your lifetime had your pleasures, however it was said. And he was tormented and you was comforted. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. You know, it would have been good if the rich man would have got his eyes off his riches and got his eyes on God and shared those riches with that poor Lazarus outside his gate and had a place in heaven, wouldn't it? Because that's been thousands of years ago. And here we are. All this time later, and that rich man is still in hell, and Lazarus is still enjoying the pleasures of heaven. You know, this morning, I just want to encourage us. I don't know where all we are and what all places we are in, but I will tell you something. God wants to give within our hearts, all around in our heart. He wants to shed the love of God abroad through the Holy Ghost in our heart. And life. And he wants to give that to us this morning. I'll read just a little bit more in Acts 20. Listen to what Paul writes here also. Acts 20 and 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Paul didn't know. He could have sat around thinking a lot about what things were going to befall him because he knew something, some things were going to befall him. And read on and we'll find out how. Not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. You know, that wasn't pleasant. I imagine Paul was like, oh, not again. Paul endured some things, didn't he? But you know what he said? But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. I don't count anything dear but God. None of these things move me, he said. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know, that was all his hope in life. I want to see the Lord in peace and I want to do his will. The things he gave me to do, the ministry he gave me, I want to do those things until that day. You know, this morning, what has the Lord given you to do? Do it. Do it faithfully. Count it greater than the things of this life. Count it big in your heart and life. Not only are we working for heaven, but we want to do all the Lord's will until we get there. We want to complete the ministry that he's given us. The help that we can be to someone else, to others, to the work of God. However that is, whatever calling, and there's a bunch of different ways that the Lord uses people. Whatever that is, complete it. Count it very valuable. Put it in your hearts and minds. Paul said, none of these things move me. I know I'm going to get put in jail again. I know I'm going to have lots of afflictions. I'm going to get beat. I'm going to have all these things. And then At the last, he was beheaded. And Paul knew all of this was possible. He knew all those things. The Holy Ghost witnessed to him. Has the Holy Ghost witnessed to you anything? Is there anything that the Lord has allowed in our life? You know what? That don't just come accidentally if we're God's. The Lord works in our lives. Listen, our job is to do as Paul did. Nay, he says. And all these things were more than conquerors, the Bible says. Read one more place, 2 Timothy 1 and 14. I also thought about the scripture that says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." You ever thought about those things? The love of Christ, it constrains us. It causes us to do things, doesn't it? It pulls on us. The love of Christ does that. And He wants to do that. Another scripture says, "My beloved is mine, and I am His." See, this thing goes two ways. We aren't just searching for God. He's searching for us. We're not just living for Him. He gave His life for us. We're not just looking for Him. The Lord wants to indwell us in His Holy Spirit. He wants to live in our life. He wants to be real in our life. And I believe that with all my heart. Sure, we go through times of affliction. We go through times like Jesus. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There might be a time or two like that in our life. But I'll tell you what we will find. Just beyond that, God blessed him. He crowned him. You know what? The Lord's not going to let anything take us away from Him. There isn't anything that can take His sheep from His fold unless we give it up. That's the only way it's possible. For 2 Timothy 1 and 14, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us." You know, I believe this. There isn't anything that is a match for the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Spirit of God, that's what that is, the Holy Spirit of God that He sent back into this world. "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors." And I want us to get a hold of that. As we go, we are more than conquerors. We are not just that we won the battle. We inhabit the land that we won. When the battles come upon us and when they fight us fiercely, I want to tell you, we're not like the world. We inhabit those places. Those battles that would have overthrown us become our strongholds. The stronghold of Zion became David's place where he wanted to stay. Wasn't it? But it had to be overtaken and overcome. And he did. I want to tell you, I really believe that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Because His love didn't stop at the cross. His love didn't stop when we got saved. His love still follows us daily. It follows us day by day, wanting to impart to us some good gift. Wanting to impart to us those things that come sometimes through suffering. Wanting to impart to us that joy that no man can take away. There's a joy that's deeper than the trial. There's a joy that's deeper than our feelings. I believe that. And God puts that joy down in our heart. And He wants us to have it. And He wants us, when we get to the end of the way, that it becomes full bloom then. Then there is no... There is no, our bodies can only do so, it takes so much, but then there is no bounds, is there? Full joy, full peace, full time with the Lord. We thank the Lord for that this morning. You pray for us too.